here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Okay, so you're sitting there and you're wondering, I want to start my business. I want to scale my business. I want to make a career change. Or perhaps you've lost your job, you've been furloughed. And no matter how you try and motivate yourself, you feel stuck. Could it be your brain? Well, my guest today is a renowned physician. He is an expert in the field of brain science. He is an expert in the field of pain management. And we're going to discuss if your brain is keeping you stuck. And before I bring him out, just a couple of quick announcements. Number one, our event, The Ultimate Marketing Experience, which was supposed to be live in Phoenix, Arizona, September 24th through the 27th, is now going to be an online event, and it gets better. So UME Online is the premier event to teach you how to market on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, how to start your podcast, how to grow and scale your brand. We have the top experts in the world in these areas. Casey Adams has the number one podcast in the world for Gen Z. Jeffrey from JR Garage. They have over 1.3 million followers on YouTube. He's going to teach you how to optimize YouTube. And as his side hustle, he makes a lot of money on eBay. We have Dennis Yu, who's the number one Facebook expert in the world. He's appeared on CNN several times for his insight into Facebook. And Dave Asprey, New York Times number one best-selling author and the creator of Bulletproof, is going to be our keynote. So that combined with a few pieces of wisdom from me. And so that event is going to go on sale depending when you're listening to the show. It is going to happen the week of August the 3rd. So check it out. You can go to umeonline.live or agency8.com or susansly.com. Get your ticket. It is going to be absolutely amazing. We have new agency services coming. We have social media coaching. We have optimization for companies where we will do your brand management, your social media campaigns for you. So all those things are coming. So make sure you are connected and get signed up for my newsletter at susansly.com to get all the great updates. So I'm going to jump right in. So my guest today is a board certified medical doctor in Canada, the United States. He has decades of experience in formulating natural products that can help with our brain health and pain management. He's currently working on some R&D. We're going to talk about that for a new product that can truly help balance us out and help to stimulate our brain. So with that, I want to welcome my amazing friend, Dr. Paul Anderson. Paul, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks very much for having me, Susan. Very excited to be here today.
Paul, I want to jump in. You know, as of today, 56 million Americans out of work. We have people who have shut their businesses. We have people all over the world who are looking in the mirror, scratching their head, going, what should I do? Yet you are an entrepreneur. And so one of the questions I've been asking every guest lately is, why is now a great time to be pursuing perhaps starting a business or even, you know, changing your life and looking at a different career?
I think the number one reason is you can have faith that the company you're with will be around. Mm-hmm. You have to create your own future and security. And you know, brick and mortar is going, and other companies that were dependent on brick and mortar and bodies coming in, even if you want to continue doing that, you need something else that will be for yourself and your family and provide financial security and well-being for the rest of your life. And I truly believe that. And there's lots of people that are out there right now really trying to do something remarkable despite what's going on in the world.
Mm. And, you know, you just said you have to create your own future and security. And sometimes people think of starting a business or a side hustle as risky. What would your advice be for that person who says, you know what, I can't stand my job, or I might lose my job, or I have lost my job. Starting a business sounds scary. I don't know if I can take that level of risk.
So you put sort of two thoughts out there, and they're both very powerful. One is you've lost your opportunity to work and perhaps have a career. And if you're getting funded by the government, now's the perfect time. Basically, they're funding you to start your business. A lot of people right now are just going walkabout. They're taking vacations. They're living the life of Riley, because I'm Irish. And instead, they should be spending the time securing their future, because that money's going to end, and all of a sudden they're going to find themselves in a bad place. The other one is if they're still working and they don't love their job, you know, one of the things that entrepreneurs do, and I think it's a big mistake, is they suddenly say, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go do it. I think that's a lot of risk. I think that if you've got income, unless it's sucking up all your bandwidth, you can give up watching, you know, reality housewife show for an hour a night and alter your future. And as Master Xing Yi says, it's all about choice. Do you want to put in the work to get to the top of the mountain, or don't you? And in this case, is sacrifice some in the short term will secure your future. And you know, I've talked about these things before, and I mentor a lot of entrepreneurs. Getting them focused and understanding is, you know, funding is everything. If you've got funding coming somewhere, it's a beautiful opportunity to change your life. And you need to be happy. That's the other, we're going to talk about brain chemistry. If you're going to spend your whole life being miserable, it's just the wrong way to go.
It's interesting. There's this, the componentry of the brain chemistry piece and looking at it with regards to risk tolerance. You know, my cousin, as an example, we were texting and he said, you know, good for you for sticking with tech stocks. He pulled all of his money out of the market and now he regrets it, but he doesn't want to come back in because it's too risky. And I'm like, you know, honey, at some point, right, there's a degree of risk to everything. Let's talk about the brain. You know, in the case of my cousin, could his brain chemistry be holding him back from being able to take a risk?
I mean, this is a really interesting area. You and I have spoken about this before. We put a lot of time and research and effort into this area. And it turns out that your brain chemistry is the main determinant of your success. So let's say someone goes to one of the wonderful self-help gurus and has a great event. They're all excited. They've been there 3 days. They paid sometimes big money. They're really looking forward to the event. And next thing you know, Monday morning comes, same old, same old. In other words, they couldn't fire themselves up enough after the event to promote change. And you start to look at things like, which we believe in a lot of these gurus, they have great content. The problem is it assumes that the brain they're talking to has the ability to move forward. Most don't. Like, for example, The Secret. Why doesn't The Secret work for me? Why isn't it? Well, because it turns out that it isn't just about, you know, what your hope and dream are. It turns out, what is your internal composition? What is your brain doing? And that brain chemistry turns out to be everything, how you're resonating and communicating with the universe.
And from that, you know, and this is kind of a back of the envelope calculation, but in your professional opinion, what percentage of people out there don't have healthy brains? So they go to an event, or they read a book, or they listen to a podcast, or they watch a video, and they're like, I really want to do this, but they just can't. What percentage of people, I guess, have unhealthy brains, do you think?
Well, that's a really profound question, especially for you and I, because we usually see the clinical part. We see depression. We see anxiety. We see real major problems. But there's a subset of the population that has problems, and it's much larger. Now, the estimation I've read about was 60 to 70% of the population pre-COVID had a problem. Now, I would probably put that higher. I would say right now, if people are running around with masks and they're worried about dying, that you're probably close to 90, 95% of people have major aberration and alterations in their brain chemistry that are not only going to affect their ability to succeed and whatever that is, hopefully it's an entrepreneurial thing to secure their family, but they're going to start to generate a lot of health problems. From what I'm hearing, my friends are psychiatrists. They're prescribing more depression and anxiety meds than ever. Wow. In fact, one of the girls that's going into our trial for the product that you tried, We gave her our healthy chocolate, and she was on the phone that day to order medication from her doctor. And she says, "Oh, chocolate's so much better." Well, yeah, we agree that our nutrients and our chocolate are better, but still, that's the problem. Is she called and said, "I need something." I think you and I are going to talk about some other alternatives that are much better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, we're hearing the suicide rate is up because of COVID, and we're seeing, you know, we're seeing whether someone sees it on TikTok or, you know, news or whatever, people who normally would be mostly rational are irrational. And I believe a seed can't grow in infertile soil, but their coping mechanisms to deal with this, all of this uncertainty that's happening with regard to COVID. So we're seeing people scream at people if they don't have a mask. Seeing people scream at people if they do have a mask. Like, it's just, it's almost like a world gone mad. And most people lack the coping skills to actually manage their emotions at the best of times. And then when you add all this fuel to the fire, it changes things. Let's talk about what people do that negatively affects their brain chemistry. And then we're going to get into how to make some positive changes. But let's talk about the negatives. If someone's listening and you're Irish, our number three market in the world for this show is Ireland. So there you go. Your people are listening. So what are some of the things we're doing that we might or might not know are actually negatively impacting our brains?
Well, social isolation would be one. So that's a big problem. Humans are designed to be in contact with each other. Exercise, getting outside in the sunlight. These are huge ones. And having some sense of purpose when you get up. I have a friend that actually, an Irish friend of mine that owns a local wine store. His business, what he used to sell in a month, he sells in a day. People are sitting at home all day long and drinking, smoking dope. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people. And the problem is that they can't get out of it. Their brain's so unhappy that they're looking for alcohol, they're looking for weed or whatever else they're taking. That's the problem. And they've got to start looking at doing other things that will help get them back on the pathway to happiness and then ultimately to success.
Let's explore that a little further. So social isolation, alcohol, drugs, you know, some of the other things, you know, sugar, fast food, synthetic food. How some people are like, well, I'm just going to have Chick-fil-A, or I'm just going to have McDonald's, or I'm just going to have this wine every night. I'm not doing any harm to myself. Tell us, how bad is that stuff?
It's extremely brain toxic. That's the problem. And there's several problems that you mentioned. One is when you start eating all this fast food, you're no longer preparing. So you have loss of nutrients. So you have nutrient-depleted food. It's full of toxic, particularly trans fat, which is very brain toxic. It causes body inflammation. That's two things you have going on. And then you talked about sugar. Again, high sugar is very toxic to the brain. All of these things are then combining with your social isolation and then fear itself. So you add all that in, and you're going to run into big trouble. And then if you start using mind-altering things, like you're going to drink and you're going to smoke a lot of marijuana during the day, and now you're actually poisoning the brain on top of all those other things that you should be doing that you're no longer doing that was good for you.
And how it's interesting too, because we're seeing with kids at home too, and parents are trying to work that, you know, some of the kids are starting back online school, and several of my friends who are parents are going, oh my gosh, you know, my kid isn't getting PE or physical education, depending where you live, what you call it. So they're not getting as much exercise. You know, the whole family is eating extra sugar. I was speaking to a mom last night and she's like, we just took the kids to Dairy Queen. She goes, I feel gross. I don't even know why we went, but we're seeing, just like your friend with the wine story, selling more wine. We're seeing more people consuming sugar. We're seeing, you know, more people, the COVID-15 was a real thing. And people are talking about that, but they're not talking about what the damage is to the brain. And you mentioned about trans fats being so toxic to the brain and inflammation and sugar being toxic. What other things might people be consuming, even unaware, that might also be toxic to the brain?
We've covered the main ones. The other thing that starts to happen is they're not doing their regular exercise. This is my dog Bubble probably barking at a delivery guy. She's happy during all this. You know, there's other things that you need to do for your brain to make it healthy and happy. And being in a perpetual state of fear is a major problem. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I can just reassure the listeners that when you actually look at the data, unless you have a really compromised immune system and you're elderly, the chance of actually getting the disease and actually dying is really quite low. You may get sick, but usually you recover. And that's sort of where you got to start from and start looking at doing things to actually boost your immune system that actually, at the same time, improves your brain chemistry. And there's lots that we can talk about that they can do that will make a huge difference.
You mentioned a perpetual state of fear. And right now, this is my favorite. So our in-laws, my husband's parents, call and they're freaking out. They're like, are you okay in Arizona? You know, people are rioting. Everyone's dying of COVID. They're watching way too much CNN, constantly negative news. And it's like they must be watching, they're quarantining. They must be watching 16 hours of news a day. And can you talk about what that does to the brain?
Well, even before this, we know that if you had depression, and you stop watching the news for 2 weeks, it was just as effective as taking antidepressants.
Wow.
So if you just stop watching the nightly news and the morning news, stop the newspaper, it was the equivalent of going on antidepressants. That's how much the news affected before COVID. Now with all this fear mongering and everything else, I suspect it's a lot higher.
That's incredible. I'm still, you always have the best statistics, but I'm still I need to pause with that one. Taking a news detox for 2 weeks was equivalent to going on antidepressants. Now, I don't watch news. I confess, I do watch a little bit of CNBC while I'm doing weights in the morning and trading stocks, but you know,
no more.
It's all the financial news and it's fabulous to me because thank you, CNBC. But, you know, I literally swipe left in my phone. I look at it for 5 seconds. If there's anything relevant to me, it's fine. But I just, you know, I don't watch it. And I would never do it before bed because it would interrupt the sleep. When Dave Asprey's here a couple episodes from now, depending when you're listening, Dave's going to be talking about sleep and the power of sleep. Let's jump into what things should we be doing, Paul, in order to improve our brain function. What are some of the easiest things to do? What are some of the more challenging things to do? But, you know, if people are listening and they're stuck and they're in fear and they're going to Dairy Queen or they're binging sugar or they're smoking a lot of pot, you know, hello, you're not going to look back in your life and go, gee, I waste more time eating junk food and getting stoned all the time. You're going to go, crap, I wish I had had a more fulfilling life. But what are some things, if someone's listening right now and they're like, that's me, I need to do something, what should they do?
Okay, so the first one's easy. Take your brain for a walk every day. Mm-hmm. It turns out that they did a study on students and 25% increase in our marks if they just went for a 20 to 30 minute walk daily. So it turns out you need to oxygenate the brain. But two things in this world you need to realize. You can't catch COVID by yourself. And if you wear a mask, you actually lower your oxygen, raise your carbon dioxide. It makes you worse. So if you're really concerned, don't put it on. And if you come in contact, and you can't catch it walking by humans, you can only catch it talking to humans. So just wear your mask if you really believe in that when you're in proximity. But We have people walking on the beach here wearing masks. COVID is not coming from the deep sea. It's not a sea monster. It's a respiratory virus. So walk your brain, wear your mask if you want to, when you come proximity of toxin. But walking by someone, there's no evidence that this virus would ever cause you to get infected. That's the first thing. Get out, and then also get you some sunlight, right, on top of that. So you got to start to exercise. Now, if you can do additional exercise, whether you're willing to walk, just walk, or you're wanting to bike, hike, run, the more you do, it turns out light cardio is extremely powerful for the brain. You start doing that every day. In fact, again, they've shown running daily is the equivalent of taking antidepressants. Mm. We've done this over the year. We've actually had people that couldn't take medication, and we'd have them run. And then you get that endorphin, that runner's high, tremendously powerful for the brain. So that's number one. Number two is sleep. I know Dave's going to go into this next week, but sleep is so critical. You've got to get a good night's sleep because you've rebuilt all your neurotransmitters in your brain. You actually rebuild your whole body. You repopulate your probiotic bacteria. You cleanse your body while you sleep. You got to get a good night's sleep. And Susan already gave you the tip. Don't watch the news at night. That's the easiest one. Don't watch because you're so scared. Then you can't sleep. You get anxiety. So number one, stop the news. Number two is if you're not taking vitamin D3, especially if you're not getting enough sun exposure, you need to take it. I know there's been some controversy in the press, but we've used it in over 10,000 people very successfully. Most people will do very well if they take it at night because it actually raises your serotonin, which you need to make melatonin to sleep. So we recommend that you take your D3 at night. Most people will need between 4,000 and 10,000 IUs. It sounds scary, but it's only like 0.125 milligrams. It's just the units. And the way to do that is just get a blood test. And if you're not sure, get a hold of your doctor. And you can, I think in most of America, you actually have to pay for the test. But vitamin D3 is essential for sleep. It's essential for all the wonderful neurotransmitters in your brain. That would be number two. We can talk more about sleep. There's sleep hygiene. There's blackout curtains. No phone in there. Turn off your phone. Take it out. You can't watch TV in the bedroom. TV's got to be somewhere else. Do not turn it on because the TV shows and the lights and everything else flickering cause problems. If you are having issues sleep, get on your phone and put on the blue light filters. I know they're on Apple. I'm assuming they're on Android as well. All of this helps. If you're staring at a computer all day long, same thing. Start looking at getting a blue light filter. We find it helps a lot of people sleep. So there's a couple of sleep pointers.
That's awesome, Paul. And thinking about just those things alone, a lot of people being quarantined if they were living in an apartment and they had to stay. But we saw people running whole marathons in their apartment. We saw people getting exercise. We saw people doing those things, ordering the it's not quite the same as getting out in the sunlight, but ordering the lights that, that helped to, I had one when I lived in Canada, a sad light to help to simulate that daylight. Let's talk about hydration. A lot of people have dehydrated brains.
I'm just going to add one little story before we get to the dehydration. So my father started running. My father's 89 and they closed the tennis court. So he decided to run. There's 12 stories in his building. So he sprints and does interval training up and down the 12 stories. Like you said, find a way. I bought some weights, put it in the back, and created my own home gym called the House of Pain. So what you want to do is get inventive, and there's body weight exercises, but get inventive, but just get moving. Mm-hmm. And hydration is a major problem, especially with all the drinking, because alcohol is diuretic. It actually flushes water out. So they got to make sure, if you're going to keep drinking, drink a lot of water. But again, maintaining your hydration throughout the day, making sure you're getting enough water is critical because the brain is actually a little gelatinous ball in fluid. And if the fluid gets low, the ball ain't happy.
if the fluid gets low, the ball ain't happy. I love it. And it's being intentional. I mean, all of these things are common sense, but just because it's common sense doesn't make it common practice. And, you know, it's interesting when years and years and years ago, when I had my nutrition practice, if I could get someone sleeping better, and sometimes we use natural forms of tryptophan to make that happen. You know, back in those days, people weren't addicted to their cell phones. Get them sleeping better, get their hydration up to a gallon of water a day or 3 to 4 liters of water wherever you live. Just doing those things and maybe reading some fiction before bed, not watching, you know, television, being on a screen, that tended to fix about 80% of people just in those easy things. And then getting them, as you said, at, you know, regulating their circadian rhythms. And I'm watching right now with Daniel Olin and Zac Efron on Netflix, and they're traveling all over the world and looking at what people are doing naturally. So how France treats its water, as an example, or in Iceland, looking at, you know, how they're doing things with power. But it was interesting. They arrive in France and they're jet lagged, and Daniel Olin's like, I just have to put my feet on the earth. And Zac Efron's rolling his eyes. And Daniel's like, no, I need to do this. So they go and they take their shoes off and they're in this farmer's field, essentially. And then Daniel Olin does some downward dogs, they're breathing, they do some sprints. And then he was talking about circadian rhythms. And he said, you know, one of the things is our circadian rhythms get off. You know, we're pushing the envelope from both directions. It's like coffee to wake me up. It's like, you know, a Valium to put me to sleep. And it just messes up the body and messes up the brain. What about someone, what would you say to someone who is finding themselves, you know, in burnout, right? So they're saying, well, Paul, this all sounds great, but every time I go to sleep, I wake up between 2 and 4 in the morning. I need like 6 cups of coffee a day to function. What do you say to that person?
Interestingly, I will start off with meditation or spiritual prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about sleep and hydration, you get 80%. And I added meditation to that. And that combination, if they're willing to do it. Now, we used to think it was an hour a day, and that was tough, you know, to go from 0 to 1 hour and even working them in. Then it was a half hour. And then Henry Benson's work out of Michigan, or Boston, showed that 15 minutes a day turns off 2,000 inflammatory genes in 1 month. 1 month. He's actually using it for hypertension, heart disease. And we know that it changes the whole hormonal thing. So when you're in a state of fear, your cortisol is very high, your growth hormone, which is your anti-aging, your youthful hormone is very low, and you need to reverse that state. Besides sleep, the number one way is meditation. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of meditation, as long as you can do it. That's the first thing. So you find the form that works for you. Even if you start 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if you can get to 15 minutes, we know it has unbelievable. Do more? Fantastic. Now, some people are against meditation. Deep spiritual prayer works exactly the same in the same parts of the brain. And the bonus is, besides helping you have a healthier brain and life and so on, it really impacts your sleep. Mm. So they go hand in hand. If you're sleeping better, you're meditating, you're going to find. And if you add in the exercise, that combination, you can do tremendous things for your health.
I think that I was just taking notes. I mean, 15 minutes a day turns off 2,000 inflammatory genes in a month. I mean, most people are walking around with body inflammation. Now, if you're eating a tub of Ben and Jerry's every night, yes, you're inflamed, but there's also other issues around that. It's not just inflammation that's, you know, got you having Dunlop disease. That's when your belly Dunlop over your belt, right? But Joel Osteen said something fantastic once, that prayers when we're talking to God and meditations when we're listening. And how often are we sitting there going, you know, our back's against the wall, I've got to figure out a way, I've got to figure out a way. And the nonstop chatter prevents us from actually receiving the answers. And in my own practice, which is about anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes in the morning of prayer and meditation, it's that combination of both. It's me praying, and then it's me taking the time to listen. And as Paul said, that practice develops over time, right? At first for me, it was about, you know, 10 minutes, and then 15 minutes. And now my brain craves that time. And it's the first thing I do in the morning. Paul, I know we're coming up to the end of the show. Give everyone a glimpse of what you're working on now, because we gave a hint about some R&D that you're working on, a trial that you're working on. I got to sample what you're working on, and it was incredible. It was like, if anyone saw the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper, when I tried this, that's how I felt within about, I guess, 10 minutes. So, Paul, can you talk a little bit about what you're working on right now?
I can, but the problem is, Julie, I'm so excited. We're still in the R&D phase. But it's been really amazing. We took a combination of vitamins, minerals, amino acids that we know turn up the feel-good neurotransmitters in the brain, particularly serotonin and dopamine. And because of new technology with herbs, we can take liposomal or fat and rope versions of maca and curcumin and fenugreek, and we can now get them into the brain with a lot of concentration we could never do before. So this has been in the last few years. And we put them together, and then we put them in a chocolate, because women like things like this in a chocolate because they're smart.
Not just women. Lots of
people. Well, everybody, but it was the women that taught the men, to the scientists, to go do it.
Forrest Gump loved chocolate, just an FYI.
I got it. It's the women that tell the men to sort of figure it out. So we put in 17 ingredients, a formula we've been working on for 12 years. This is the latest version. And we were shocked at what happened when you actually start to balance the brain chemistry. So we knew we were putting up these major neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine. We had GABA in there as well. And we were getting focus, calm energy. What's very interesting is that we were getting people that were energized, but they weren't jittery like they do get from caffeine and energy drinks. But it was like real energy. They could go all day. Mental clarity, and their vision would improve, which was the most interesting thing, is that we actually go around and our vision is not quite right. And you noticed that right away when you took it. It's like, what? What? It's not about glasses. You could see things you couldn't, clearly, that you couldn't see before. Mm-hmm. We've had tremendous mood improvement. We're testing this in the for the women's market right now, but this will work for everybody. We've had people with ADD who had tremendous results, not expected. We were targeting a certain part of the brain, and it turns out that when you start balancing that, everything gets better. So that's where we've been spending the time. Very excited about the future.
Well, Paul, I'll just share a quick story. So we were sitting on a balcony overlooking the ocean when you brought these samples over. And what I noticed, it was crazy, to your point about vision. So I'm looking off in the distance and I'm a bit nearsighted, and suddenly things are hyper-focused. And then I turn to Paul and Chris, my husband, and I'm like, who incidentally, like if you don't know us yet, or you have, my husband's never on social media, but Paul and Chris look like brothers. Anyway, so I turn to them and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to go for a 10K run right now. And I had already worked out in the morning, right? I'm like, I want to go for a run. Let's go. Come on. And it was that, it was a different kind of energy, not the caffeinated kind of energy. And what I'm really excited about the future, and for everyone listening, is that the only person that is going to prevent us from achieving our dreams is ourselves. And a lot of the things that we can do to improve our lives are 100% within our control. So Paul, any final words for all of the listeners, all of the viewers, like in terms of what, you know, what is going to inspire them to make some change right now?
So, and I mean, you bring up these huge topics. So yes. So the first thing is you have to decide that you want to do something. And even that, sometimes your brain is going to even hold you back from even making that decision. So what I recommend is just picking one thing you're going to do this month. This month, I'm going to get a better night's sleep. Or this month, I'm going to get out 20 minutes a day. And spend the next 3 months or so adding these activities in. And you may be able to go faster than a month as you start to get better, but make everything a habit. So like Susan says, she started off, it was perfect. I did a little meditation, you know, and her brain's probably giving her the monkey chatter. And then she gets a little better. Now she's doing 35, 45 minutes. But she wasn't doing that at the beginning. And she took the time, and now her brain's craving that. So whatever works for you, I'm going to cut down my sugar, whatever you think you can do, start with that and stick with it. And then you'll see some change. And that will then inspire you to do the next changes. So that's my advice.
Well, thank you, Paul. And I appreciate you being here and being a recurring guest and really bringing, you know, the common sense, practical wisdom in terms of how we can get healthier and what we can do to improve. Because I think that the philosophy in life is really, as long as we continue to grow, we're not dying. But the moment we start to, you know, do the things that shut our brain down and, you know, invite that toxicity into our life, either physically, emotionally, spiritually, that's when things begin to decline. And I can tell everyone that when your brain is on fire, you feel good physically. So with that, everyone, you know, Paul, I would just want to thank you again for the common sense wisdom and, you know, and really looking forward in our lives and saying, hey, what can I do right now? What is the gift I can give myself today? What is that one thing that if I, you know, take from this, it's meditation, it's sleep, it's water, that I can apply now in my life in order to move me forward? And what's that difference I can make in the world? So with that, if today's show has been helpful, Paul and I would love a 5-star review. Please go ahead, give us a shout out on social. And I look forward to seeing you all in a future episode of the Susan Sly Project.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.